Let us pray. Lord, may your word be planted deep in our hearts. May it sprout and grow and bear fruit. And may that fruit draw all into the joy of your kingdom. For your sake and your glory we pray. Amen. Amen. Grace, mercy, and peace be to you in the name of this, our living Savior, the Jesus who was and is to come, the Jesus who comes to us in full color in the words of the New Testament, in the Gospels, in everything that came following and of which we are part, but also in the Jesus who was prophesied, who was expected, and who shows up in between the lines, even in the midst of Psalm 62. Our text today is this psalm, Psalm 62, where we read, among other things, these powerful lines. For God alone my soul waits in silence. For God alone my soul waits in silence. The line is repeated in verse 5, if you noticed, with a slight nuance. For God alone, O my soul, wait in silence. The declaration has become a command. And finally, the third focal point today I'd like to invite you to think about and internalize in verse 8, the middle of the verse. Pour out your heart before him. In that silent waiting place, will you pour out your heart today? This is about prayer, isn't it? That dawned on me partway through my preparation this week as I was thinking about Psalm 62. This is really about prayer. There are many words in this psalm, but really it comes down to prayer. Where and when do you pray? And do you ever allow there to be some silence and some waiting in your prayers? In the first service, we had the children's message and we played the quiet game. Have you ever played the quiet game? That's a creative game that parents think about in the car when they're on a long trip somewhere and they think, how can we get these children to be a little bit more tolerable inside the car? And so they invented this game called the quiet game. Have you ever played it? It's very simple. You just be quiet. It's a contest. Genius, I think. Our children have begun to be able to see through the quiet game, and they've got these minds that are just growing all the time. But the quiet game, it's a form of prayer, really. Have you ever thought about it that way? I wonder how long you could sit and wait quietly in prayer without saying anything. I wonder. Far be it from me to be an expert on prayer. I am just beginning to learn about prayer. But friends, if you hear nothing else, hear this, is that my time in prayer, especially lately, in the last 6 months or so, is the gemstone of my life. I don't say that to be admired. I say it simply to be transparent. If you have yet to develop and enjoy a rich prayer life, then that is its own reward. And I just offer it to you freely as a means of saying, well, if you've tried other things, I wonder if you could be filled in a way that you haven't even imagined yet in prayer. Oh, my soul, wait in silence, invites the psalmist here. That phrase is a challenge for me. I, who have trouble waiting and being silent. In my own spirit, I can object to these words, and I can say, well, Lord, wouldn't it be enough if I were to cultivate sort of an inner silence, you know, not a literal silence, but an inner silence as I'm listening to some good music? It wouldn't have words. I'll just listen to instrumental music. And how about waiting? In my own spirit, I think, well, Lord, waiting seems just such a waste of time. I mean, I can wait, but also I could do something on my phone. I mean, I've got access to all my files, and I could be productive. I could at least do some calendaring. Couldn't I simply just be a little bit quieter and a little bit less obviously busy? And the psalmist writes, wait in silence. This verb, as it changes in verse 5, it goes from being a declarative verb to an imperative. It's a command. O my soul, the psalmist says, like a lion tamer calming the lion down. Oh, my soul, wait. The psalm is really about strength, security, refuge in God's presence, our connection to God. It's about feeling as though we are safe in His arms, in the relationship that He has made with us. And the psalmist brings up this repeating image, the metaphor of this fortress. If you've seen in verse 2 there, it goes on and he says, he alone is my rock and my salvation, my fortress. I shall not be shaken. And that's repeated later on down. It's a common metaphor, a common theme. And if you think about Israel, if you've ever been there, I had the pleasure of being in that Holy Land. You know that a rock fortress, especially in ancient times, was a sign of strength. This is where people would retreat to if an army came invading the land, or maybe if wild animals would come, you could have a safe place to hide. And so the psalmist uses this metaphor, the rock, the fortress, the security of God. It's a rich metaphor, one I invite you to contemplate. And yet, it's not a current metaphor. It's not something that we see often in our culture, in our day. We don't have fortresses, castles, really, as much anymore. We are much more independent of those. We take our security from other things. I'll leave you to fill in the blanks. Where do you find your security from these days? What substitute have you been settling for? For God alone waits my soul in silence. I'd like to offer you another metaphor today, if you'll indulge me. If you'll indulge me in illustration, an acted sermon, if you will. If you'll string along with my object lesson, I'd like to offer you a metaphor for prayer. You see, prayer is something that we get taught when we're small, and it goes through different stages, at least for me. And I think in various parts of my life, I've thought of prayer in various ways. For instance, when I was really little, I thought prayer was kind of like vitamins. You know, vitamins are really good for you. And it's kind of hard to swallow them, it's mildly unpleasant to take your vitamins, but it's over fast. And you know that you're doing your body good. You know you're doing a good thing when you take your vitamins. I thought of prayer like that for a while when I was small. Then for a while, I thought of prayer like sit-ups. I don't know, do you do sit-ups regularly? Sit-ups, I mean, it's a good idea, right, in theory. They tell you that the more sit-ups you do, the more you can do. Well, and they're painful, but then you get used to it, and I guess sit-ups are good for your core. Prayer also is good for your core. But why are you doing those sit-ups? You know, is it really about feeling healthy, or is it about getting an image that you have been striving for? I wonder sometimes about prayer, or whether or not we pray thinking that God is listening or thinking that others are listening. And are our prayers shows of our faith? Or can we be really, truly honest? Now, if prayer is sometimes like vitamins and sometimes like sit-ups, at other times, inevitably, prayer is kind of like brushing your teeth. You brush your teeth probably twice or three times a day, and I'm guessing you don't really have to think about it too much. Someone taught you when you were much younger how to brush your teeth, and you just brush them. It's supposed to take at least 2 minutes. Sometimes our prayers are like that too. What about prayer like a vending machine? You ever use a vending machine when you were in high school or maybe afterwards? You just go up to the machine, you put in the money, you press the right buttons, and out comes whatever it is you bought. Is prayer sometimes, do we approach God sometimes like a vending machine? You just come to God, you have the right attitude, you say the right words, you push the buttons, and God delivers the goods. Dear friends, at various times in my life, I've approached prayer in all these different ways. And yet lately, I'm experiencing a new way to pray. So I offer you another metaphor for prayer. Let's assume that the jar is like our lives. We're filled with God's Spirit when we're born. And for a little while at least, it seems as though nothing could go wrong. When I held my newborn babies, I thought, could there ever be anything wrong with any one of these? And yet, sooner than you hope, things do start to go wrong. You start to learn all about life and its complexities, and the water starts to get a little bit cloudy. And then maybe siblings are born, and you start thinking, well, it used to be just me. And then maybe you have to go to school, and you get things like geometry homework in grade 4, and you get things like popularity and contests, and you get confused. And then someone starts asking you, what do you want to do in your life? And you start feeling this weight, and life begins to get more complex. I wonder if you have ever felt as though you were being filled with all kinds of things that you had never asked for. As we get older, sometimes our lives get filled right up to the brim and we start feeling like, I can't just take any other thing. And then sometimes the experiences of our lives begin to agitate and shake us up, and the confusion clouds our vision. What once seemed so pure and innocent now is full of difficulty. So what do we do in that moment? Do we pray? Do we cling to God, our rock, our refuge, asking Him to come and to reveal Himself to us? What do we do in this moment, overcome by pain or agitation or loss or grief? I suspect we sometimes pray, but just as often, we try adding energy. We try to discipline ourselves. I can be better than this, we say. And when that doesn't work, when all of our energy and accomplishments doesn't seem to satisfy, sometimes we try to escape. Just take me away, we say. Take me anywhere but here. I don't like this life anymore. What a mess. For God alone waits my soul in silence. The psalmist has discovered the secret of life and satisfaction in God's presence. The rock to whom we cling is able to give us something that we cannot take. For God alone waits my soul in silence. Waiting is kind of like that jar. If it were to sit there all week, I wonder if you'd begin to be able to see through it again. I have a feeling that because most of the dirt there is kind of in suspension, that eventually it would become at least clear enough to see through some light. And yet it would still be kind of a mess. A mess into which Jesus comes, if we can think of this metaphor now as our lives, a mess into which Jesus has come and entered into our mess and taken our mess then into Himself. This pure, spotless Lamb who came into our world, innocent as He was, sinless, perfect, ready to absorb the sins of everybody, ready to take all that had tainted the perfect creation, all that had filled up God's world and promised with empty promises to satisfy what only God can satisfy. Jesus, our Lord, came. And He entered into your life and into mine, and He began to absorb all of these toxins, these poisons, which we have used to replace Him. All these cheap substitutes. Jesus, the Lord, the King, comes into your life and mine and offers rest. And He says to our souls, wait. Be silent. Like He calmed the storm, He calms our storm. Wait. Be still. On the cross, Jesus accomplished the redemption of all people. He took the sin of the whole world in Himself and unmade it. In His death, He dismantled death itself. And then, because He rose from the dead, because He lives, and will live forever in eternity, Jesus offered new life. He offers you new life today. And this, dear friends, I believe is the best way, at least in my present experience, to experience prayer. It's the new life that Jesus pours into us by His Spirit. Before we even say a word, before we know what to say, God is pouring His Spirit into us. Some days it's a lot and some days it's a little, but God's supply of Spirit will never run out. He will keep pouring. He will keep purifying. And He will wash us until we are truly clean. For God alone waits my soul in silence, writes the psalmist. Prayer is a stopping. A stopping. And then it's a filling. And I invite you, if you've been struggling in your own prayer life, as I have at various times in mine, to stop today and to be filled. To be filled with the Spirit of God Himself, which comes to you as a free gift, as something you cannot take, but that you can only be given. Oh, my soul, wait in silence. And may our hearts be poured out before Him. Amen. And now may the peace which comes from knowing our risen Savior guard and protect your minds and your hearts for all the days and weeks and years to come. To Him be the glory forever. Amen.